Hope you can see both Pali and English translation.
Yes, Pante.
Good. Now we have already discussed Mahasalayatanika Sutta, that is, we can translate as the Great Sixfold Sense-Based Discourse. We already discussed, I think, 2 days about the same sutta, where Buddha give a fair count of six sense bases, and they are. He first started with how if one is unmindful about it and if one doesn't have much understanding about them and what going to happen. Then Buddha mentioned that basically the suffering will follow. And so that Buddha has mentioned that when one is not aware, when one is unmindful, completely driven by the senses, various desires, and looking for kind of a delight, then what is going to happen is that the various defilements are going to grow, and then kind of a suffering is going to happen because various kinds of aggregates are going to grow. So we may start with the kind of a rupa, may matter, kind of form, but still it will grow towards the vedana, the feelings. Maybe towards the perceptions, sanya. Maybe towards various kinds of thinking, thoughts. That means sankhara. And then different forms of cognitions. That means, say, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting. Then bodily sensations and then cognition. Now all these things are being promoted when we are deluded, when we are sort of attached, grasped. And that is the kind of suffering that Buddha mentioned going to happen when we are fairly deluded in the whole process. Tassa sarattassa sangyuttassa sammulhassa assadanupassito viharato panchupadanakkhanda upachayan gacchanti. So the whole 5 aggregates are growing. So we are promoting and we are sort of making our tendencies more and more vulnerable, more and more stronger. So those tendencies become more deeply rooted in ourselves. Tanha jasa pono bhavika nandiraga sahagata tatra tatra abhinandini. So basically the qualities of the tanha, craving, going to grow. So likewise Buddha mentioned in the first part about the disadvantages, about the dangers, about this whole process. And then Buddha get on to explain about the other side. So that is what we call the good side. When one know as they truly are. Now here actually the ayatana bhavana, the meditation with respect to the sense bases are emphasized. So when one is mindful about how seeing happens, how hearing happens, how smelling, tasting, touching, cognition going to happen, if one's fully aware of the whole process, suppose there was no kind of a thought available, but right now you see something, immediately say that the seeing part happened, so the eye does that seeing activity, and as a result of that a new image is appearing, and as a result of that you start recognizing it, and then there may be a thought arising, and another thought arising, another thought arising. So likewise this whole process sort of catching up, developing the momentum. So if one is able to understand that process mindfully, then slowly all the developed thoughts start fading away because you are not promoting them. You are not getting deluded by them. You are able to sort of mindfully aware of the whole process. And you are looking at them objectively. So likewise, there the Buddha mentioned the opposite going to happen. The 5 aggregates affected by clinging are diminished. Now the clinging is not promoted, and as a result of that the form aggregate start fading away. Feeling aggregates fading away, perceptions fade off, then the sankharas as much as possible stilled, stopped, and the consciousness also start not establishing. Previously it is established either in the form, either in the feelings, either in the perceptions, or either in the different kinds of formations, but now consciousness become fairly unestablished. Now further Buddha mentioned as a result of that the craving is abandoned, and the bodily and mental troubles are abandoned, bodily and mental torments are abandoned, bodily and mental fevers are abandoned, and as a result of that, one experiences bodily and mental pleasure. Now, opposite is going to happen. Now, this pleasure is basically we can call as kind of an unworldly kind of pleasure. It is not the pleasure derived from various sense bases by sensual gratification. It is not the pleasure that we are experiencing through sensual gratification. Instead, it is a kind of a niramisa piti, a kind of a pleasant experience, pleasant abiding, happening because of the abandonment of various defilements. Now, last time we discussed about few, taking the example from two more suttas, Malunkiputta Sutta and then the Adimutta Theragata, we discussed from that. And now we can get on to the next part of this sutta. Now, not only this has happened, now according to the teaching, now Buddha mentioned, I mean, all these advantages are there. Apart from that, some more advantages Buddha highlights in this process. So those advantages are with respect to the Noble Eightfold Path. Now, Noble Eightfold Path, as you know, there are eight path factors. Now, here, Buddha mentioned, Ya tathābhūtassa ditti sāsya hoti sammā ditti. Yo tathābhūtassa saṅkappo sāsya hoti sammā saṅkappo. Yo tathābhūtassa vāyāmo tassa hoti sammā vāyāmo. Ya tathābhūtassa sati tassa hoti sāsya hoti sammā sati. Yo tathābhūtassa samādhi sāsya hoti sammā samādhi. Now these are the path factors related to the samādhi sikkha and the paññā sikkha. Now these two areas, the sikkha, the trainings, two trainings are here highlighted, and the last sikkha, that is the sila sikkha, Buddha mentioned it is already very much purified. Sila is very much purified. So that means pubbevako panasya kaya kammam vachi kammam ajivo suparisuddho hoti. So that indicates he is continuing the path, being established on sila, being established on morality. So, while being established on morality, he is continuing the practice. Suppose he is practicing vipassana. And when he is developing vipassana, then the right view becomes more developed, further developed. So, his proper intentions, that means avyapada sankappa, avihinsa sankappa, nekkamma sankappa. So, the proper thinking process. And if possible, reducing the unnecessary thinking, reducing inner chatter, reducing unnecessary thoughts. So all these are the development of the Samma Sankappa. So he is now very much like mastering in the thinking part. And then the proper effort. So he is maintaining a kind of a continuous effort to abandon all unwholesome maybe deeds, words, thoughts. At the same time to develop necessary qualities which are necessary for the development of the path. So he is developing that. So for that one needs constant effort. So that effort is also being developed. And then continuous mindfulness. Now this mindfulness may be in the Kayanupassana, the establishment of mindfulness through the body, through the feelings, through the maybe to the mind and to the various phenomena. So such kind of mindfulness is constantly trying to maintain. So the mindfulness is also growing with respect to those kind of, say, establishment of mindfulness. Now, how mindfulness growing is actually a different story. Now, previously, one has established mindfulness deliberately because otherwise mind get distracted. So that's why we are taking one, say, fairly neutral object, say, breath for rising and falling, the walking. Now, that object being used as an anchor for the mind, because otherwise mind get distracted. Now, assume that the mindfulness is now established already. Now, he is trying to further expand it so that he is capable of maintaining mindfulness as much as possible. Even daily activities, he is trying to do mindfully So as a result of that kind of continuity of mindfulness become more and more available. So even though at the beginning the establishment of mindfulness become somewhat deliberate, but now it has become very much like an inherent quality. Now he is capable of maintaining mindfulness throughout the day, something like that. Now further in the future, now suppose he is practicing vipassana and capable of maintaining a mind free from grasping. So then it is very much like you are fully at the doorstep of mindfulness, or within the house of mindfulness. Because that is where the mindfulness is quite effortless. You don't need to pay attention to develop mindfulness, rather mindfulness is there. That's why sometimes we can call it as effortless mindfulness. So that is how it is slowly growing. And there are, Buddha mentioned, the enlightenment factors are to be developed in a different tone. So actually we can discuss that later. Now, so likewise, therefore Buddha mentioned, so as the establishment of right view, it leads to right intention, then right effort, right mindfulness, and right concentration. So there's a kind of a continuity in these path factors, and at the same time there is a kind of a relationship as well. For example, if one is developing say right view, so first of all he need to have some theoretical understanding about right view, and then he needs constant effort to abandon wrong view and to cultivate right view, and then for that one has to be fully aware of what's happening, so he has to be mindful. So in other terms, so right effort and right mindfulness have to be available when one is further developing right view. Say for example, right thought or right intention. There also, first of all, one has to understand what is wrong intention and then what is correct intention. So that is the theoretical understanding. That is the part of the right view. And right view helps to distinguish between these two, what is wrong, what is correct. And then one has to be aware every time, so what his mind is thinking. Is it correct? Is it wrong? Is it harmful? Is it harmless? Is it beneficial? So likewise, a kind of a continuous attention should be available, continuous mindfulness should be available. So that is the sammasati. And in order to do that, you need fair amount of courage, you need fair amount of effort, energy to maintain that whole thing, to abandon wrong view and to cultivate to abandon wrong intentions and to cultivate right intentions, you need fair amount of effort. So there again we can say right intention is supported by right view, right mindfulness and right effort. So likewise there is a kind of a combination of those three path factors, particularly right view, right mindfulness and right concentration, effort, for the other path factors in terms of the in terms of the other two path factors of wisdom part, in the wisdom sikha, panya sikha. Now, after explaining these path factors, now Buddha mentioned already Sila Sikha is very much established. So that means now when we are cultivating the path factors, particularly giving more emphasis to the mind, so that means already his bodily and verbal actions are fairly purified. Bodily action, verbal action, livelihood have already been well purified earlier. Now this earlier. So that means he already has some understanding about the morality. So as a result of that, he is maintaining the proper morality. If you can remember that Sammaditti has two sides. Mundane type of Sammaditti and the supramundane type of Sammaditti. In the mundane type of Sammaditti, the sila is fairly emphasize, because he is talking about the kind of kammasakata sammaditti, where establishment of one's action based on the wholesome base. So likewise, the morality is emphasized. Now that indicates that the other path factors are developed based on the morality. It doesn't mean that one has to be 100% pure in morality. One may be continuing as the wisdom develops, as the concentration develops. So further and further, the morality also being purified. But anyway, the morality part is giving its necessary support as a kind of a foundation. So therefore, we can say, so when one becomes more and more closer to the enlightenment, so he is losing all unwholesome roots, lobha dosa moha, greed, hatred and delusion. Now he become incapable of doing any unwholesome activity, and now he is already established on the morality. That because he is already established in morality, because he doesn't want to commit any kind of unwholesome deed, because the roots are very much uprooted. Roots are basically devoid. Roots are basically subsided, or rather we can say completely weakened. Therefore, this three trainings, Sila Sikha, Samadhi Sikha and Panya Sikha, so they are fairly interconnected. And in this particular sutta, Buddha mentioned the Sila Sikha very much as the foundation. It is already established now. And on top of that, now you are building your house, something like that. And interestingly, here Buddha further mentioned, while you are doing this whole process, it is not merely that you are developing Noble Eightfold Path, rather all other areas are being developed. Now you can say Buddha mentioned four foundations of mindfulness also come to fulfillment in him by development. So that means Buddha mentioned here, if I refer the Pali one, tasse evang imang ariyang attangamaggam bhavayato chattaropi satipatthana bhavana paripurin gacchanti. So that means four satipatthanas are also developed. Then chattaropi sammappadhana bhavana paripurin gacchanti. So four sammappadhana, so that is the four striving. So we can say the four efforts are also further developed. Then chattaropi iddipada bhavana paripurin gacchanti. So spiritual powers are also coming to the fulfillment by development. Then tattaropi, sorry, panyapi indriyapi, indriyani, bhavana paripurin gacchanti. So five faculties. That means saddha, viriya, sati, samadhi, panya. So those five faculties are also growing, developed. Panchapi balani bhavana paripurin gacchanti. So that means the five powers, saddha, viriya, sati, samadhi, panya, as the level of the power, that is also being fulfilled. And then the sattapi bujjanga bhavana paripurin gacchanti. So that means seven enlightenment factors are also being developed. So that means these are fairly interconnected. Probably you can remember that when Buddha mentioned, or when we were discussing Anapanasati Sutta, something similar Buddha mentioned. So when you are developing Anapanasati properly with respect to those 16 steps, so Buddha mentioned while doing that, you are capable of developing four foundations of mindfulness: Kayanupassana, Vedanupassana, Chittanupassana, Dhammanupassana. As a result of that, now you are developing seven enlightenment factors. As a result of that, now you are developing Vijaya and Vimutti. That means the wisdom and the freedom. So likewise, there's a beautiful interconnection, kind of a flow, a causal relationship we can understand in this whole process. So similarly here, so one has started developing Vipassana in terms. Now basically understanding things as they truly are is the Vipassana process. Again and again, we are trying to understand the true nature, true behavior. So what happened? When you are doing that, the path factors are developing. As a result of that, now we can say four establishment of mindfulness are also developing. Four strivings are developing. Four spiritual powers, iddipadas, are developing. And then the five faculties are developing. Five bala, the powers, are developing. And the seven enlightenment factors are developing. So they are fairly interconnected. And these are basically called 37 bodhipakkhiya dhammas. So 37 bodhipakkhiya dhammas are here. When we connect or we count all these things, ultimately there are 37 factors, and there are some repetitive factors. There's a kind of an involvement, and evolution happens. So these factors are the ones further and further developed. So that means in the path, in the practice, it's a matter of developing these necessary qualities. You can't simply ignore that practical part. And you can't do that merely by reading, merely by listening. You need to involve with fair amount of mental development. So then only the necessary qualities, necessary mental skills are going to develop. For that you need the foundation as the proper morality. So that is why it is emphasized, it is being already established. Now, further Buddha mentioned here, these two things, serenity and insight, occur in him yoked evenly together. Tasime dve dhamma yuganadda vattanti samathocha vipassanacha. So samatha and vipassana, that means concentration or the tranquility, the collectedness of the mind and the insight. So they are developing hand in hand. They are developing parallel. It is not you simply develop samatha for a long time and then you start developing vipassana. Rather, these things are going hand in hand. You are time to time giving attention to samatha, time to time giving attention to vipassana. And both processes are very much helping each other. So they are developing in parallel. And further, Buddha mentioned, he fully understands by direct knowledge those things that should be fully understood by direct knowledge. Now the direct knowledge. So this direct knowledge is another interesting term. So it is not the book knowledge. It is the direct knowledge. It is the experiential knowledge, we can see. So ye dhamma abhinya parinyaya. Te dhamma abhinya parijanati. So here Buddha mentioned, ye dhamma abhinya parinyaya, te dhamma abhinya parijanati. Abhinya parinyaya. So abhinya means direct knowledge. It is not that you are reading a book and then and trying to imagine the whole thing. Rather, you directly experience through your observation the true nature of the phenomena. As a result of that, further and further understanding is developing based on your direct experience. And So what are these the dhammas which have to be fully understood? So that is explained later, that there are certain factors you need to be understood fully through your direct knowledge. So what are they? So they are the five grasping aggregates. Rupa upadana khanda, vedana upadana khanda, sanya upadana khanda, sankhara upadana khanda, vinyana upadana khanda. So that means those five aggregates have to be directly understood. You have to very well understand that. We have to fairly, profoundly, through your direct experience, you need to understand that. So basically, if you consider the rupa upadana khanda, you can have a list of rupa. Okay, sometimes in Abhidhamma it is explained, okay, 20 types of rupa. Knowing those 20 types of rupa by memory is not what we are mentioning here, what we are aiming here. Rather, through the experience, how are we going to recognize four elements? So what are their characteristics? How we know directly the presence of the Fatavidahatu, the presence of the Apodahatu, the presence of the Tejodahatu, the presence of the Vayodahatu. So that means directly you are in connection with those elements. And then only you are able to understand their true nature. So that direct knowledge is what highlighted here. So similarly, now one has to understand thoroughly about the Rupa Upadana Khanda, the form aggregate. So that is what we are trying to do through Kaya Anupassana. Then one needs to understand thoroughly about the Vedana Upadana Khanda, about the feelings. So that is what we are trying to do in the Vedana Anupassana. Then one needs to understand similarly about the Sanya Upadana Khanda, Sankara Upadana Khanda, Vinyana Upadana Khanda. So that is what we are trying to do in the Chittanupassana, Dhammanupassana. So those are the areas trying to explore these five clinging aggregates. Now that is the direct knowledge one is further and further developing. And through that direct knowledge, one is trying to comprehend all those five clinging aggregates. And then further Buddha mentioned, he abandons by direct knowledge those things that should be abandoned by direct knowledge. Now the first one is actually on understanding. This is on understanding. Now this is on abandonment. So what should be abandoned? So there Buddha mentioned the ignorance and craving for being. Katamecha bhikkave dhamma abhinyaya pahatabba avijjaca bhava tanhaca. So this is what Buddha mentioned, what has to be abandoned. So now if when I am talking this, probably you might remember there's a such kind of a model available in Four Noble Truths. In the Four Noble Truths also, Buddha mentioned the Dukkha Satcha, the Noble Truth of Suffering, has to be fully comprehended, fully understood. It also has to be Parinyaya. So similarly, Buddha mentioned here, Abhinya Parinyaya, the same thing. So the Dukkha Satcha, the Noble Truth of Suffering, is nothing but this Panchupadanakkhanda, five clinging aggregates. So therefore, it's very much the same model Buddha explaining here. So what we need to directly understood, fully, thoroughly understood, is the Dukkha, Dukkha Satcha. So that is the Panchupadanakkhanda. Then the second one, Dukkha Samudaya, that is the Tanha. In the Noble Truth model, Buddha explained, okay, what is Samudaya? So that is the Tanha. Now here, in this Sutta, he has added what you call the ignorance and craving for being. Craving for being, that means bhava tanha, that the tanha part is there. Other than that, he has added ignorance as well. So that means avijja part is also there. Now, if one is capable of abandoning tanha, that means he has to develop wisdom. So that actually go hand in hand, that actually go parallel. So you can't abandon tanha merely by sort of pushing away, merely by your willpower. Rather, what Buddha's approach is to understand why are we grasping, what are the causes for grasping, and what is there to grasp. Are they really worthy of grasping? So likewise, kind of a reflection is introduced, understanding is introduced, investigation is introduced, so that you will ultimately understand there is no point of grasping. It is not worthy of grasping. Then mind naturally starts letting go. So that means ignorance is also abandoned, craving also abandoned. So these two are happening in parallel. We are developing wisdom. As a result of that, craving also abandoned, ignorance is also abandoned. So in this sutta, so the abandoned part, abandonment also therefore mentioned for the ignorance as well. Ignorance and tanha, avijja and tanha. And bhava tanha is highlighted. So we need to explore why only bhava tanha is mentioned without simply mentioning tanha. Anyway, the bhava tanha is mentioned. And then Buddha mentioned, katameca bhikkave dhamma abhinya bhavetabba. Now bhavetabba means your development. So what are you going to develop through the direct knowledge? Now through the direct knowledge, so this is important. So these factors have to be directly developed through your direct experience. So what are they? That is serenity and insight, samatha and vipassana. Samatocha vipassana cha. Now typically, the third noble truth is the Nirodha Satcha. So that is actually coming here. Katameca bhikkave dhamma abhinya satchikatabba. In the satchikatabba part, so that means the realization part, in the Noble Truth model, Buddha explained that is the Nibbana. Now here Buddha mentioned, katameca bhikkave dhamma abhinya satchikatabba vijjaca vimutticha. So that is the wisdom and freedom, you can say. So knowledge and deliverance. So those are the ones one is realizing, experiencing. And in order to do that, you need the Noble Eightfold Path. That is what highlighted in the Noble Truth, rather the Four Noble Truth model. That comes as the fourth Satcha, that is the Marga Satcha. Here, the order is a little different. Here, Buddha mentioned first about the, say, the Marga Satcha, that is fairly limited here as the serenity and, sorry, the serenity and insight meditation. And that is what you are going to develop. And the result is the realization. So that is the Nirodha Satcha. Here, Nirodha Satcha is represented using true knowledge and deliverance. So it's somewhat differently now Nirodha or the Nibbana is explained. So it is highlighting about the wisdom part available in that, as well as the freedom part available in that. So they are going hand in hand. Actually, this same model is explained in the Anapanasati Sutta also. So there Buddha mentioned when seven enlightenment factors are developed, Vijja Vimutti are the two results. That is also same thing, true knowledge and the deliverance. He also Buddha mentioned Vijja Cha Vimutti Cha are the ones that you are realizing. So that is the result. So now all these things are with respect to knowing of I form, I consciousness, and then the eye contact and the eye contact based feeling. So that is the with respect to the eye faculty or with respect to the eye base. So same explanation is given to the ear base, same explanation is given to the nose base, same explanation given to the tongue base, same explanation given to the body base, same explanation given to the mind base. So you can see now the sutta ends here, but explanation is repeated again and again for all other five faculties or all other five sense bases as well. So I have prepared a little diagram here to explain you the whole process, because otherwise it is little difficult to understand this. So this is a kind of a summary of what we have discussed. Now, I have taken only the positive part here. You can see. So the first one is knowing and seeing the sense bases as it actually is. In general, we are talking all six sense bases. So you should know and see as they truly are. That is the vipassana part. And when that happens, so one can abide uninflamed by lust, unfettered, uninfatuated, and then contemplating danger. Now you are in the practice basically. The result is five clinging aggregates are reduced, and then craving is abandoned, and your bodily and mental troubles are abandoned, bodily and mental torments are abandoned, bodily and mental fevers are abandoned, and now you are experiencing bodily and mental pleasure. So these are the ones kind of results that explained in this sutta. So these are one set of results. And another set of results are explained with respect to the Noble Eightfold Path. Already morality purified. And you are further developing five path factors. That is right view and then right thought or right intention. And then right effort, right mindfulness, right concentration. So the five path factors belonging to the Samadhi Sikha and Panya Sikha, they are being further developed, and you are already established on Sila. Now it further results into develop the other areas as well. So that means the four foundations of mindfulness, four kinds of striving, four bases of spiritual power, five faculties, five powers, seven enlightenment factors. So they are also being developed. So this is another area. So Buddha highlighted in this sutta. And then by direct knowledge, so that another model here, this is the Four Noble Truth kind of model. And by direct knowledge, you need to fully understand five clinging aggregates. That is very much like Dukkha Satcha. And through direct knowledge, you need to abandon by seeing, by knowing properly, the ignorance and craving. And you need to realize knowledge and deliverance, that is Nibbana. And then by developing through your direct knowledge, what is Samatha and Vipassana. Now typically what you need to develop, so that is being highlighted as Noble Eightfold Path in the Four Noble Truth model. Now here what needs to be developed, Buddha highlights as serenity and insight, Samatha and Vipassana. Now you can see slight difference is there, but anyway what we can understand is Noble Eightfold Path is very much covered here. And the development part, of the all the Bodhipakkhya Dhammas are also highlighted here. So when you are doing that whole thing, so what you are trying to do is actually doing the development of this serenity and insight, Samatha and Vipassana. It produces to develop all these path factors, all the four foundations of mindfulness, all kinds of striving, spiritual powers, faculties, powers, enlightenment factors. So they are fairly connected. So for the explanation, for our easy understanding, Buddha is explaining this in different parts, in different ways, but we can say everything is fairly interconnected. So this is what basically in summary, what this sutta explained in terms of the positive side. The negative side, of course, what happened is that you are being inflamed by lust, you are fettered and you are infatuated and you can't see the danger, instead you are being delighted and all the five aggregates are growing. So that is the declining side, that is the kind of the harming part. But the opposite, the development part, is very well explained in a different way in this sutta. So this is what I try to summarize here in a pictorial form. And with that, I like to conclude this whole sutta. And if you have any questions, we can discuss.
Thank you, Bhante. Sadhu. If there's any questions online, you may raise your hand or you can also send them via the chat. Mahisha, you may unmute.
Thank you, Jennifer. I'm sorry, Bhante. Actually, this is not a question, but could you please share the last screen? I actually needed to get a screenshot of that.
Sure.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, I'd like to invite Yasala for the next question.
Hello, thank you, Jennifer. Thank you, Bhante, for the summer talk. I hope you can hear me. I'm just calling from outside.
Yes, can hear.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Bhante. Yes, Bhante, actually, last few sessions I have been attending like live, but I am still listening to the recordings as well as the other recordings, like the Magic of the Minds and all the other sessions. It's just that I have been away due to some work commitment for a while. On regarding the today's session, I think I found this kind of very applicable to me. But one thing I just wanted to clarify, you know, one thing on your screen, you have something about the ignorance, where, you know, the direct knowledge and then abandoning the ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
I find like with the meditation and the practice I'm doing, I can see that most of the things I can ignore now. I have a feeling.
No,
ignore.
Yeah. Ignoring is not what we are here basically highlighting here. So the avijja, the not knowing is abandoned. The Ignorance here basically means that we don't know properly. We are being sort of deluded. So that delusion is abandoned. That has to be abandoned by the direct understanding. So this whole sutta very much like emphasizing about the direct seeing and knowing. So direct seeing and knowing. It is not that superficial understanding, but through that experience, through meditation, that you are directly trying to understand, directly trying to experience. So through that, you are. So through that, what has happened is that you are abandoning the ignorance, you are abandoning the not knowing, you abandon the delusion, and instead now you are developing wisdom, the insight.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, Bhante, because I had one example in my mind, I thought of like sharing. Is you know, like recently, there'll be many examples at the family that I should kind of have a proper attention. I think I do, but at the same time I feel I'm like very aware of keeping the balance, you know, that I should not be like not seeing that I should still have a responsibility to change and attend. So like example, there's a recently there was a big rain and there was part of the roof was leaking, and so everybody in the family was putting buckets and this and that, and like very active manner, whereas I feel, yeah, I can see it's raining, but that is still fine. Well, yeah, let's do something we can. But I didn't feel that much of like jumping up and down on that.
Right.
But then sometimes I try to think, is that because I'm being not responsible or I am being too much away from that kind of day-to-day things, which I also feel may be bad or in terms of like my responsibilities. That's kind of what I wanted to highlight. So okay. In that case, I should still, I mean, I was, it's not that I did not, I was concerned, and I actually did not ignore the whole thing completely. Maybe I'm using ignore wrongly here. I was not completely careless about it, but I did something.
Right.
But he just said, of course, I'm not the forefront, I'm not the one right in front of me.
So I think that is quite natural, because one important result of mindfulness practice is that you are capable of, or you are able to understand the impulsive behavior. Now we are not into impulsive behavior. So previously we are immediately jump into conclusions, immediately jump into the picture, and we are trying to impulsively behave, impulsively react. But with the practice, it is kind of, we are very much like taking the back seat, and we are able to understand the whole situation very mindfully, and without any kind of impulsive behavior, without reactions, then we can see the whole system and see what is the most important or what is the most appropriate solution at that moment into that particular incident. Then we can take an unbiased, proper, wise action, proper, wise decision. So this properly maintaining your balance without much getting disturbed is one result of the practice. So therefore, it is not something abnormal. Rather, when others are jumping on, when others are sort of getting panicked, when others are in kind of a turbulence, so you are maintaining kind of calmness, serenity, and you are still, it doesn't mean that kind of a passivity. No, it is not kind of an indifference. It is not sometimes kind of a passivity. Rather, you are also in action, but not getting sort of caught into the reactions, not getting caught into the impulsive behaviors. Rather, you are quietly, carefully, you are doing the same thing. So therefore, this is one important result of the practice. So therefore, we don't need to criticize that. Rather, we can appreciate that, because when during the hard situation, during a hard time, so that is where exactly the maturity of the practice will going to show us. Because otherwise, we also in the same boat, we also crying, we also sort of lamenting, we also in kind of a stress. That is the thing. So now here, we are not getting stressed out. Yeah.
Correct. Well, yes, but I think that is the word I think you mentioned, like impulsive behavior. Yes, I was pretty much not into that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, slowly I would highlight that there's the danger of doing some of the things, be careful, and that kind of, yes, I think I understand, but it was more like I wasn't getting caught, but I really was in the situation and thinking what we can do. But eventually, at the end, of course, we got it over.
Yeah.
But yes, Manji, so that is, I should not mix that up with the ignorance. That's
definitely not.
Ignorance.
Yes. It can be, I mean, we can say something is ignorant when you are not at all doing anything, you completely kind of mind your own business without helping, you have no any feeling, you have no empathy, so you are maintaining kind of an indifference, so then we can say kind of an ignorance. So it's a kind of an equanimity based on ignorance, ajnanupekkha. So here what we are highlighting is, you are not ignorant, rather you know exactly what needs to be done, you know what is your role, and that is also well done, and without much mental turbulence. You are maintaining the calmness still while you are acting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Clear, Bhante. Yeah, thank you so
thank
much.
You. Yeah.
Thank you. I'll turn by Vartika for the next question.
Thank you, Jennifer. Bhante, can you hear me?
Yes.
May I ask you a question on my meditation? Bodily actions, Iriyapata? So, I had the opportunity to practice for a longer time. About 3 to 4 hours a day for about a week. I noticed that in the walking, the mindfulness is automatic. It's coming automatically onto my feet, and also, I'm walking at a different pace sometimes. Then it's my normal walk, but sometimes it's not as slow as the walking meditation. The thoughts are coming, but the mindfulness, I know it's still there on my foot. I have increased, like Bhante and you suggested, not only the walking but also the daily activities and other ones where I have using my limbs, or I'm singly, you say, handi nabima. Yes, I have increased all that. Now I'm trying to keep my mind balanced, because the thoughts are various thoughts that are coming. Not a lot, most of them are general. Most of them are in the what's happening in the present time. That what I mean is, it's like things related to the day-to-day activities or the day-to-day things that I have to do. But from time to time, I get some trigger, which is in things from the past.
Yeah.
I don't have a much of that, but it is, it's very bad. It's pretty hurtful. So it's I'm using everything I can to keep it balanced, the mind balanced and equanimous. But what do you recommend when that happens?
Yeah, I think it's a matter of further continuing your practice. So I feel that you are doing well, because now very much kind of a balance already. Because you are practicing mindful walking, mindful sitting, fairly the same amount of time spending on both. At the same time, while mindfully walk, try to investigate all different phenomena, what are they available, and how they are behaving. So then slowly, we are improving that investigation part as well, promoting that Dhamma Vichaya Sambojjhanga.
Not doing the same amount of sitting well, but I was doing 3 to 4 hours of walking meditation.
Ah, that's fine, no problem. I mean, sitting longer, too longer, might cause you to lean onto samadhi, but now if you are doing more investigations while walking, that promotes more into mindfulness and wisdom.
Yes, that's what I'm doing now.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not telling every day I try to do one and a half, but I try to do two every day. I'm saying I had opportunity, I was away, I had to, because it's winter here now, so it's not very easy for me to do it outside. So I had opportunity to be, out of the country, and so it was warmer. I could do 3 to 4 hours a day.
Right.
So I had opportunity to increase my mindfulness in the walking, but also the other activities. And I felt a big difference because, like I said, I recognize that it's, I don't know what the word for automatic is in Sinhalese. It's happening
automatically?
Yes, it's happening automatically. But then that, when it is happening automatically, because I'm not on, no effort is being used to put it onto my feet.
Right.
Thought,
yeah, that's fine. So only at the beginning you need to be somewhat intentional, and later the practice become catching the momentum and the mind know how to do it, and whenever different phenomena are available, readily mind is paying its attention and doing the thing properly. So at that moment it's a matter of allowing the mind to do it, I mean properly. We don't need to intervene. Yeah.
So if I go every day now, then I'm back. One hour.
Yeah.
That's the maximum I can do.
Fine. Just keep it up.
Yes, that's what I'm trying to do. One hour. And sometimes 45.
Yeah.
Then is there anything else that I should be doing?
No, it seems like all right, because you are now even trying to be mindful on daily activities. So that means the whole day you are a little concerned. So that's good.
Daily activities, I'm trying to do it properly, right? So that before I was running from one thing to another. I still have that bad tendency of trying to do two things.
Yeah.
While I'm cooking, there is the washer going on and something else. I go to the room and I hear the phone ring and I have that very bad habit. But I'm trying to do each thing properly, or do what I'm doing.
Correct.
Without getting distracted by something else that needs to be done.
Yeah.
I'm trying to sequence it better.
Good.
So I thought I would know that. I'm going to try and continue, and then I'll give another report in a few weeks.
Fine.
Thank you very much.
My connection may not be good, and if that is the case, I will ask the question next time, but I will try. My question is, during meditation and during contemplation, if we see the anicca dukkha in all phenomena and that could help us to get rid
Probably you can write your question and put it to the chat. It seems little difficult to understand. Seems the connection is little weaker today.
That's because I'm not in Melbourne, Bhante. I'll write the question.
Sure. Yeah, good.
Thank you. I'd like to invite Sohani for the next question.
Avasarai Bhante, thank you, Jennifer. Teruvan Sarnai, my question is, Bhante, you mentioned in answer to a previous question, to investigate while walking. Can you please clarify that? What exactly does investigate during walking mean?
Yeah. Now actually, when we start practicing mindfulness, so we are using, say, left, right, lifting, moving. So likewise, that sort of a verbalization in order to establish mindfulness on walking, because otherwise mind starts getting distracted. Now suppose once that is fulfilled, now suppose you are now capable of maintaining mindfulness, and on such situation, I mean, the next step is to start investigation, because just mere mindfulness is not enough now. So while you are mindful, now you need to investigate what more is available. What are the subtle details available? So when your foot is touching the ground, maybe the hardness. So that is the only major quality that you understood while at the earliest stages, when you are using that as a way to or mechanism to establish mindfulness. Now the mindfulness has fairly established, but there are the investigation part now need to be promoted. So that investigation part helping us to sort of develop yoniso manasikara, the wise attention, and sort of understanding the cause and effect relationships. Now like that, it's more into the wisdom part. So that investigation helps to develop this seed of wisdom. Now at that moment, just to give you an example, now previously suppose while walking you only understood it is simply hard or simply rough. Now probably you might understand, okay, certain times I feel smooth, I feel soft, sometimes heat, sometimes cold, sometimes movements, sometimes how the weight transfers from one leg to another. So likewise the changes in this movement, various vibrations. So likewise so much of other subtle details are available. So the investigation is the one helping us to understand all this information. So that is necessary. And later actually there's an interesting point happen. So these details become very much like mixed and you can't differentiate. So that kind of a change, kind of an evolution also going to happen in the future. But you don't need to worry about that. First you need to understand each and every individual characteristics as much as possible. You are muted. Yeah.
Sorry, Bhante. There was background sound, so I muted. Thank you, Bhante. I understand. The question is coming from another party listening in as well.
Mm.
They say that they have, they do realize this part as well, like the subtle changes, the heat, the cold, etc.
Right.
And now what? Like these things are felt and understood very, very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much happening.
Correct.
And so there's maybe there is like too much information now.
Good.
And now
so,
what is what?
Now, yeah, keep observing them. Then the mind will naturally shift to the next stage. So now we don't need to purposely do anything. It's a matter of continuing the investigation slowly. The investigation evolve to another stage. It is not that we are able to forcefully go to the next stage. Rather, let the investigation slowly evolve to the next stage. Naturally evolve to the next stage. So typically, we can say first we are sort of trying to understand the individual characteristics about various different phenomena. And as we are further developing that, naturally we will understand the common characteristics. Common characteristics in the sense to all these different phenomena, there are some common behaviors. So that is what we are going to understand next. It is not very much we are purposely going to understand that. Rather, it's a kind of an evolution of the previous understanding. It will take you to the common understanding or common characteristics. So therefore, just continue this process for some time. Then naturally, your mind will be interested of understanding the common characteristics, ignoring the individual characteristics.
Thank you very much, Bhante.
Thank you. And my apologies. Sorry, Radhika, I didn't see your hand raised. So you may unmute and ask your question. Radhika, you may unmute.
Probably she already asked a question. Now she was keeping the hand raised.
Okay, from before.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
Okay, if you need to ask a question again, Radhika, please raise your hand again. Okay, so we have the typed out question from Chita Devi.
Yeah.
The question is, if we develop anicca, dukkha, anatta in relation to all phenomena and the five aggregates, this investigation will help to develop clear comprehension. Will this help to lose ignorance in a big way?
Yeah, sure, definitely. So that's why, I mean, all these things are happening in parallel. So when you are continuing the investigation, so that helps to properly understand as they truly are. So that means we are reducing the avijja, reducing the ignorance, reducing the delusion, increasing the understanding. So slowly that will abandon the craving as well. So why we crave, why we are maintaining kind of a lust, is because we don't understand. We don't know the reality. But when we are promoting investigation and trying to understand, so the result is abandonment of craving, abandonment of delusion, all the defilements, and now we are improving the wholesome side. So likewise, it's a kind of process happening in parallel. Jennifer, now you are muted.
Yes, Bhante. Okay. So, Chita Devi, hopefully that answered your question. If you have more, please don't hesitate to ask. Bhante, are there any questions on your side?
No questions today. They are quite silent today. Okay, then if there are no more questions, then we'll wind up the session today. And all the merits that we have accumulated, we'll share with all the celestial beings, all the past devil relatives, and whoever in need of merits. And we wish these merits help us also to attain path, fruition, nibbana. So we'll recite the traditional verses. Ittavata cham hehi sambatang punya sampadang. Sambe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Itta vata cham hehi sambatang punya sampadang. Sambe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Itta vata cham hehi sambatang punya sampadang. Sambe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Aka satta chabummatta deva naga mahindika. Punyantang anumoditva chirang rakkantu sasanang. Kasattha chabummatta deva naga mahiddhika. Punyantang anumoditva chirang rakkantu desanang. Kasattha chabummatta deva naga mahiddhika. Punyantang anumoditva chirang rakkantu mamparang. Idang vo nyati nang hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idang vo nyati nang hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Medang vo nyati nang hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nimbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nimbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nimbana pattiya. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.